This is Roberto and Cheryl Sabas reading Matthew 1:18-25.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit.
Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us.
When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus.
Joseph took his wife and the child, and they went to Africa to escape the rage of a deadly king. There along the banks of the Nile, Jesus listened to the song that the captive children used to sing. They were singing,
"My deliverer is coming, my deliverer is standing by. My deliverer is coming, my deliverer is standing by."
Thank you. hearts are empty without you. Barren and cold, but for the bold hope that you yourself planted within. In the mighty name of God, in the saving name of Jesus, in the strong name of the Spirit, we come, we cry, we wash, we wait. We look, we long for you. We come, we cry, we watch, we wait, we look, we long for you.
Sometimes we long for the morning, for a refrain from etchings in pain.
Yet our loneliness draws us to you. Saving name of Jesus, in the strong name of the Spirit,
we come, we cry, we watch, we wait, we look, we long for you. We watch, we wait, we look, we long for you.
We come,
we come,
we cry,
we cry,
we watch,
we watch,
we wait,
we wait,
we look,
we look,
we long,
we long
for you. We come,
we cry,
we watch,
we wait,
we look,
we long
for you. Oh, we come,
we
cry,
we watch,
we wait, we look,
we
long for you.
Hello, friends. Waiting and preparing the way for the Messiah's coming. Welcome to the fourth Sunday of Advent, where our theme is the risk of hope, risking gratitude and generosity, risking welcome, risking trust, and now risking to dream. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio appreciating that we come to these topics of risk together and individually, considering both what it means for each of us to have a dream and how we might embrace a common dream for our future. As you listen today, I want you to imagine the New Covenant Sanctuary filled with visitors from Mississippi, 30 students and staff from Spring Initiative joining us to sing and learn together. This is the context of this teaching to a wide range of ages and backgrounds as we light all four Advent candles and the first Hanukkah candle and think together about what it means to be given dreams for a different future than we previously imagined. There are many stories of dreams in the Bible. God spoke to kings and rulers, prisoners and children while they slept. Perhaps the most famous dreamer in Scripture is Joseph, the one who had the coat of many colors, who dreamed of the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him, and each of his brothers' sheaves of wheat bowing down to his sheaf. Telling his jealous brothers about his dreams did not win him any friends. Sharing his dreams was dangerous. Joseph's dreams put him at risk. Can you think of other people whose dreams put them at risk? What famous Americans talked about having a dream? Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. took the risk of imagining a different future and sharing that dream with others. He had a powerful dream that also put him in danger because not everyone liked his dream either. Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him, but then a traveling caravan came along and they decided to sell him as a slave instead. His own brothers! He was a slave for a long time and put in prison unfairly. His childhood dream seemed impossible. Then the king had some very upsetting dreams that he couldn't understand, and Joseph got the opportunity to explain them. Pharaoh, the Egyptian king, promoted him to the most important job in the country. Many years of suffering and imprisonment occurred before the dreams of Joseph's youth became reality, and his brothers knelt before him as the second most powerful person in Egypt and begged him for grain. That Joseph lived a very, very long time ago, long before the Joseph in today's story that we read earlier. The Joseph in today's scripture is a different Joseph. He lived thousands of years after Joseph the dreamer and the coat of many colors. Think of how many Joes and Josephs you know. My grandfather's name was Joe, and my younger brother was named Joseph after him. We used to call him Little Joe until he became the tallest person in our family. There are so many Joes. The Joseph in today's story was engaged to a girl named Mary. He seems like more of an average Joe compared to the Joseph who lived hundreds of years before him and was famous for his dreams and interpreting other people's dreams. This Joseph is a carpenter in a small town in northern Israel. He builds things, and he is a good guy, a righteous man, a kind person. He isn't a tattletale or a bully. He wants to protect people from getting picked on or gossiped about. He's the kind of guy who would stick up for you on the playground if other kids are being mean. I imagine that people really liked having him as a friend because they knew they could count on him to be honest and dependable. This Joseph was engaged to a girl who also loved God and went to church every week. They were both Jewish, so the church was called a synagogue, and they went on Saturdays. They learned about Joseph and the coat of many colors there. They learned about Joseph's dreams and how God was with Joseph in Egypt when he was alone and scared, and it seemed impossible that his dreams would come true. When Joseph and Mary and their friends were growing up, they also celebrated Hanukkah, the holiday about the miracle of the lamp in the temple burning for 8 days when there was only enough oil for one day, while the priests worked on getting more special oil for the lamps. That is why Hanukkah lasts 8 days, and we light another candle each night of Hanukkah to remember. Tonight, December 18th, is the first night of Hanukkah, which is celebrated all over the world, and especially in Israel, where Joseph and Mary lived. On special occasions, they traveled with their families and friends to the big temple, where the miracle happened, of the oil lasting for 8 days to keep the lamp burning. I think it's pretty cool that we are celebrating the same holiday that Joseph and Mary celebrated when they were kids going to their local synagogue. Holidays are important ways we are connected to people in the past and the future. Hanukkah is a holiday that started over 100 years before Jesus was even born, long before Christmas became something to celebrate. In our scripture reading today, Joseph and Mary are engaged, but not yet married. About 3 months before this, an angel had come to Mary and told her she was going to have a baby who would be very important. In Luke 1, 26 through 33, it says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you. She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom. Mary was confused by this because she wasn't married yet, but the angel said the baby would come from the Holy Spirit. So she said yes. Then she left her hometown in Nazareth, where Joseph lived, and went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was also going to have a special baby named John. Mary was gone for 3 months. 3 months while she stayed with her cousin until she had her baby. Then Mary went back home to Nazareth, where Joseph was living and working and waiting to get married to her. Can you imagine his surprise when she comes back after being gone for 3 months and she is pregnant? What a shock. He knows the baby isn't his, so what's he going to do now? He doesn't want to marry her since she is pregnant with someone else's baby, but he also doesn't want her to get picked on and made fun of when he breaks off the engagement. He still cares about her and doesn't want to see her hurt. So he decides that he will break up with her quietly and not make a big deal of it. Then maybe she will go back to her cousin's house or somewhere else to have the baby where people don't know that she used to be engaged to him. That seems like the kindest he can be in this difficult situation. The Bible says that as Joseph was thinking about this, trying to do the right thing for Mary and this unknown baby and his own future, an angel appeared to him in a dream. This was a very busy time for angels. I have never seen an angel. Have you? Most of the time we don't see angels, but this was a very special time in history when God sent angels to tell people that some very important things were happening. The angel said that the baby growing inside of Mary was from the Holy Spirit, not some other guy, and that Joseph should go ahead and marry her and name the baby Jesus and take care of them both. This was a very unexpected message. Nothing like it had ever happened before. And it was a big responsibility. The angel said this baby that Joseph was supposed to take care of and name would save people from their sins. And then Joseph woke up. The angel was gone. He wasn't dreaming anymore. Now it was time for action. Should he do what he was planning to do and break off the engagement quietly? Or should he do what the angel said and believe she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit and go ahead and marry her? See, here's the thing about dreams. Whether we are awake or asleep, whether it is an angel or a vision for the future inspired by God, when we have a dream, the next step is to take action. Think about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He had a dream, which he shared with anyone who would listen, even when it made people angry. His dream, like Joseph's dream, required action. Preaching, speaking, and marching, and boycotting, and organizing, and praying. Dreams of a different future inspire us to act differently. At Spring, you have a dream for the future, for each of you to grow into the person God is making you to be, that your talents will grow and you will learn what you are good at and what you love to do and work on the things that are hard to get better at them. You also have a dream for what kind of community you can make together, of friends and family, and how you can make the world a better place. Here at New Covenant, we are part of this dream to support you and encourage you and believe in you and pray for you. We share the dream of repairing the world, where we work together to build strong communities where everyone can thrive, because we know that God wants good things for every person. This is a risky dream. Sometimes it is hard to believe. Remember Joseph's dream where the angel tells him that the baby is conceived by the Holy Spirit? That seems impossible. And sometimes our dreams for the future seem impossible too. But the Bible says with God, all things are possible. At New Covenant, we also have dreams for the future, a vision of what God can do in this place that sometimes might seem impossible, that the sanctuary would again be full of young people who are excited for the work of repairing the world together, who are inspired to be in a community of faith, who love God and love each other and want to participate in Jesus's kingdom coming among us in our time. I dream of all the classrooms downstairs being used to do ministry, whether as an after-school program or a free clinic or for job training or a place for seniors to gather and eat lunch together or something we haven't even imagined. As a step of faith to be prepared for what God might bring our way, we have cleaned and painted and made those rooms ready. Upstairs, we are working with architects to make the stage bigger and more accessible for new music to happen. We are thinking about how we can take action toward the dream of being a welcoming community, excited about the future. Dreams are risky because people will make fun of you. Probably some of Joseph's friends thought he was being stupid or naive to marry a girl who was pregnant with a baby that wasn't his. Probably people gossiped about him and Mary behind their backs and probably even said some rude things to their faces. Maybe people stopped inviting them to do fun things or come over to dinner. The Bible doesn't say whether they had friends or how people treated them or if they were lonely and scared and sometimes doubted what the angels had said, or even doubted if they had even really seen an angel. But we can imagine that sometimes it must have been very hard for them to believe in the dreams that the angel had given them. The other thing about dreams for the future is that sometimes we don't live long enough to see them come all the way true. Joseph took care of Mary and baby Jesus, but at some point, he died before Jesus did everything he was going to do. And neither Joseph nor Mary could have imagined all the people all over the world who would come to believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world hundreds and thousands of years later. Martin Luther King's dream lives on beyond him. We are still working towards his dream. Dreams are bigger than one person. They live on beyond us to inspire others to join in the work. So yes, dreams are risky. Sometimes they are downright dangerous. People get mad and jealous. But God is a God of dreams who sends angels with unlikely messages, visions of a different future than we imagined. Dreams excite us to work together, to act to fulfill the dream together. We may not see everything fulfilled in our lifetime, and we can still participate in God's work right now. We are citizens of a different kingdom, God's kingdom, where Jesus will rule. And so we pray and work and hope and believe for that kingdom to come among us. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, please hear me.
Let thy kingdom come. the darkness was greater than was clear, that laughter hid a raging that would pierce the thin veneer. But then on the horizon a light appeared, and it grew to be brighter by far than I had ever dared believe. Oh, the King of Heaven comes to the sound of many drums. Oh, the King of Heaven waits just outside the city gates, the city gates.
Hello, my name is Jackson Corder, and I'll be reading the benediction, but first I have an announcement for you. Our next two services for Christmas Day and New Year's Day will be online only. We will resume in-person services on January 8th. May your holiday season be safe, healthy, and blessed. Now please join me for the benediction. Shepherd of Israel, may Jesus, Emmanuel, and Son of Mary, be more than just a dream in our hearts. With the apostles and prophets and saints, save us, restore us, and lead us in the way of grace and peace, that we may bear your promise into the world. Amen.
He's got the